This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Oh, no. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. The weather is beautiful. The trees and the shrubs are filling in, the flowers are coming up, and that is wonderful. But it also means allergy season, and I can tell you, my eyes are itchy and watery, and I'm sneezing a bit. And, you know, these days, if you sneeze anywhere near anyone else, it can freak them out. So let's try to eliminate the confusion. Which symptoms are allergies and which can be COVID-19? It can be a little not so simple because we've seen all kinds of wacky symptoms for COVID-19. I'm going to give out the numbers in case you have questions. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And now I'd like to welcome our friend Billy Chung, Executive Director of Pharmacy Marketing and Professional Affairs at PharmaSave Ontario. Hi, Billy.
Libby, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Great to be back. I'm not seeing the studio, but nice to hear your voice.
Well, nice to hear your voice, and I look forward to the time when I can see you across a socially distanced table. So, allergies and COVID. I gather that you've been seeing confusion from your patients and clients at the pharmacy.
You know, it's an interesting time because, you know, the past number of months, people are really watching symptoms and they're hearing all these different symptoms that are COVID related. And now we got allergy season coming up where other symptoms can come up. And there's a little bit of confusion out there, overlap. And it's an opportunity to really just make sure people know the differences between the both and what to expect, right?
Yeah. Okay. So let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the key is understanding the symptoms of each. Now, if I were to run through some of the COVID ones, and I think you mentioned some, but the big ones that people hear about are cough, fever, difficulty breathing. Those are some of the main ones that people are aware of. But we're also seeing, and the data is very broad and it's variable, and I think everybody's still learning, but we also know that COVID can also include sore throat, runny nose, stomach symptoms, headache, dizziness. I'd probably say the one that people are just hypersensitive over is obviously, you know, both of them are respiratory, but when you look at an allergy situation, you have the runny nose, and that's one of the symptoms you might have seen with COVID. However, there's other symptoms that aren't COVID-related. So, example being, you mentioned sneezing. That is not one that we're seeing very much of at all in terms of the data related to COVID. So sneezing is a telltale sign that it's potentially not a COVID situation. Nasal congestion, where you have difficulty breathing from the nose. So different than difficulty breathing from your lungs, right? So that's another variation. And then the itchy, watery eyes, red swollen eyes, those are other things to be aware of that are very allergy specific. And so when people start experiencing symptoms this time of year, you really have to associate the overall, what is the kind of the group of the symptoms you're experiencing.
But some of those, like you're talking about a runny nose, can be COVID related. I mean, personally, mm-hmm. I've got a runny nose 365 days a year, so it doesn't worry me, though if somebody sees me using a tissue, they might get upset.
It's one of those things where I think everybody's hypersensitive around people who are sick around them, right? And obviously, you know what? And when anybody is quote unquote sick with an infection, you're trying to avoid and you don't want to pass it along. Allergies are something that's not contagious, right? So I think hopefully people will hear and understand that there are there's a difference out there, and that not everybody with a symptom is potentially a COVID risk, if that makes sense.
Okay, Billy, let me give the numbers out again. I'm sure people have questions. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. I'm talking to pharmacist Billy Chung. We're talking about the difference in symptoms between allergy season and COVID. And these days, I mean, I know, you know, any little twinge or anything that you might experience suddenly, I mean, I have to confess, me too, suddenly think, oh my God, do I have it, when it is, you know, likely nothing. So it's an important thing to be able to distinguish these things. Also,
Go ahead. Oh, I think what you're indicating, though, is that I strongly encourage people to look at the assessments online that are available for when people may be questioning whether this is COVID or not, because they do walk you through a process. And, you know, something we did with the pharmacy website is put together a portal, per se, of all the different links of all the various assessments from across the provinces, because there are some variances from one province to another. But it'll walk you through what symptoms are you experiencing now, how long have you had them. They ask you some very critical questions to help to define whether you should be going to get tested or concerned, or whether, hey, you know what, this is likely not something related, if that makes sense.
You know, it's interesting. In the previous segment, we were talking about masks and the wearing of masks. Mm-hmm. And if you're having allergy symptoms, that's going to make the mask pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, I suffer from allergies just like you. And you think about it, you're not supposed to touch your face, you know, your mouth, your nose, your eyes. But when you think about your allergy symptoms, and for people with allergies, you know, when you're sneezing, you might be used to covering up your face, or your itchy nose, or, you know, eyes being very itchy. And I think this season might be a lot more challenging for people. I think the key thing is the hand washing. And for people with allergies, just if you're able to regularly wash your hands to just minimize that risk, because you're probably inevitably going to at least make some facial contact because of some of your allergy symptoms.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I'm pretty bad at that, but at least I wash my hands before touch my face and then wash them again. But yeah, it's really difficult. And the other thing I'd like to ask about is asthma, because I know for a lot of people, so we are around a lot more strong disinfectants. And I can tell you, sometimes I take a whiff, one whiff too many of Lysol, and you start to feel tight in the chest, and I think that's not unusual.
Yeah, you know what? It triggers, and allergy season could be some triggers for asthmatics as well, right? So that's probably the reason why, a few things. Hopefully the person's asthma is well under control as best as possible. So that's making sure you're using your corticosteroids that does the prevention for you, so you don't have to use the rescue inhaler as often or at all. Ideally, but definitely, you know, the trigger is going to cause some of that change. And again, if you're differentiating between that and a COVID symptom, the trigger is probably the telling sign. It's something that, you know, caused the symptom, versus just the symptom appearing or continually to develop or get worse over time. There is some of that variance that people should be aware of when that happens.
I want to wait till a bit later to get in the question of drug shortages, but I know that there was a shortage of Ventolin since we're speaking about asthma. Has that been resolved, or is there still a shortage of it?
It's still one of the medications that are being cautiously monitored and looked at. There is supply out there, but it's being very carefully maintained and monitored by pharmacies in terms of just how much they're giving out, and to ensure that they're giving it out to the people who require it and need it, and making sure that people don't have more than they need, so that it can be spread out over the supply in terms of what's available out there. There's been, I believe it was early this week, I saw communication around some additional inhalers that are being brought over that are from it's a different company, a different manufacturing facility that doesn't have the same quote unquote Canadian labeling, but it's being brought over as an emergency to ensure that medication is available. So the government is working really hard with the manufacturers to maintain and bring in that supply, and that really speaks towards just making sure we're monitoring how much is given out, right? So far, from what I'm hearing from our stores and our pharmacies, they're getting enough that they're still able to get it to the patients that need the refills, that need them. But they're not able to give what typically somebody might be saying, I need my 3-month supply all at once, or I need the extras as backup just in case. You may not have that availability or flexibility anymore at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a call from Adolf in Barrie. Hello, Adolf.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Well, I have big questions.
Okay.
Well, I'd explain to the other person before. I'm 80 years old. I need some medications. Can I say the company where I get the medication from?
What's your problem with the medication?
Well, okay. Before I was getting my medication for 90 days.
Oh, okay. Well,
now they say you stay home, stay home, stay home. Now I get it only for 30 days.
The same as everyone else. We were just talking.
Well, how can I stay home, stay home, stay home? I go 3 times more out than before.
Well,
get delivery.
Get delivery.
Delivery. No, they don't.
Well, I'm going to let you go and let Billy respond. You're in Barrie. Okay.
Yes.
It shouldn't be a problem for Adolf to get a delivery.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. You know what? The majority, I don't know of one pharmacy right now, personally, that I'm aware of that isn't offering that as a service. It's one of the things that very quickly pharmacies had to really ramp up and invest in right at around the start of this in March time when they realized that, okay, hold on, we need to, first of all, patients. Some people can't leave the house. Some people shouldn't leave the house. Some people should stay protected. And then pharmacists are also protecting their other patients in the store and their staff. So really one of the best options was to make sure that, hey, guess what? We can get the medication out to you. That helps to prevent that. And then when the drug supply concern came up, that also became a factor where we needed to divvy up a 3-month prescription down to 1 month. And then for people who can't get out, most pharmacies are delivering. So if you don't know, ask the pharmacy. I would strongly suggest that they're probably providing that service for those in need.
And through the United Way, I think the government has given out some money to help social agencies deliver stuff for seniors. We're touching on a number of things. First of all, the difference between symptoms of allergies and symptoms of COVID. Allergy season is coming on fast and furious, and it's easy to be confused. And also other things, you know, some of the medications we need for this or that are on shortage.
Libby, just around the allergy season coming up, is that I think people need to know their pharmacies are open. They've been open continually, and to not fear needing to get their medication. I would probably suggest calling their pharmacy and speaking to the pharmacist first to see how best or what the process is. So some of the things may have changed, so maybe since the last time they went there, but the medications are in the pharmacy, and they can call, get their refills on the necessary meds to help them, because it's good to get the medication into their system before they're exposed to the triggers, especially right now when pollen counts are increasing, the weather's getting nicer, people are probably opening windows in their house, so there's more exposure. So important, get the medications into that they need and get into their system so that they're protected.
I bet
some of their symptoms.
A lot of people are take over-the-counter stuff for their allergies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And again, you know, your pharmacy is either open, you can walk through and pick it up like normal. Some stores might have a limited ability to walk through the aisles for protection purposes, and the pharmacy might be delivering those medications, even the over-the-counter ones. So, I think they need to make sure that they do get the medication, though.
And you would use over-the-counter prophylactically, like take it before you start sneezing and wheezing?
In many people who have seasonal allergies, they generally know when their symptoms start getting triggered. And so there is a period of time that some people may be taking on a regular basis. Obviously, it's part of that discussion they have with their pharmacist or their doctor related to their allergy symptoms and how best to deal with it. In some cases, if you're not going to be going outside, your windows are closed, air conditioning is on, and in the summertime, you might not be triggered and you don't need it, then great. But the best way to prevent the symptoms from happening is to prevent that histamine from being released in your body.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to tell us about in terms of the allergy season and also in terms of those drug shortages?
Yeah, you know, from an allergy season perspective and the COVID, the whole symptom thing, your pharmacist is there to help and support. So don't be shy to give them a call. I think really important is understanding the symptoms of both. And knowing the symptoms of both will help you tell the difference between the two. And again, if you're ever in doubt, those assessments are very valuable, available for you to sort through those types of situations. In terms of the shortage and the drug medications, we're hoping to see that stabilize a little bit more over the coming weeks to month or so. But in the meantime, hoping people will understand and be patient that this is intended to ensure that people get their medications that they need when they need it, but also manage it so that it doesn't run out in a month or two from now.
It's probably a good point to remind people. Good news last week, and it was partly through the efforts of advocacy from CARP, and the Ontario government is covering the extra costs of the copays or dispensing fees for having those 30-day supplies if you're over 65 and on the Ontario Drug Benefit Program. So it's a good thing, because we had heard from a lot of people who were finding this to be a hardship, especially people who are on multiple medications. But there was some good news. So if a drug is covered for the Ontario Drug Benefit, and you were on a 90-day supply before this, then you will not be charged those extra copays.
Yep, definitely. That was good news. It was a lot of work by, as you indicated, CARP, the government, the Ontario Pharmacists Association, and it's from basically last week until the end of June at the moment, where that extra dispensing of the prescription, the copays are going to be covered right now. So it definitely helps those people that typically don't get so many their prescriptions split up into three, and ensure that they get the medication that they need.
Yeah, and again, for people like Adolf, there's a reason you can't get the 90 days, and you should be able to get delivery. In some cases, you'll be able to get free delivery. That's not always the case, though, right, Billy?
Yeah. The whole 90-day thing is a very simple explanation that we try to explain to people is that if my pharmacy can only have 100 tablets in stock of something, if I give all 100 to one patient, that means the next two people don't get theirs, right? Versus if I give 30 to the first person, it gives me another two more people and get 30 each. And then by the time they run out of that, I'll have another 100. And that's really the reasoning for it. It's to really prevent it. The medications are a number of them are internationally manufactured. And so when this COVID thing hit, there was also some concern just around the ability to maintain the inventory levels and the demand with the challenges with international shipping and such. So, but we are hopefully seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. I know our pharmacies are starting to feel a little bit less strained in terms of the stock. So I think there will be some better news over time coming soon.
Okay. Billy, 20 seconds. What are you leaving us with?
You know what? I hope everybody stays healthy, stays well, follow public health advisements, keep in touch with that. And lastly is that your pharmacist is available. They're here to help and support. And so make sure that you stay in touch with them and don't be afraid in terms of if you need your medications, make sure you speak to them about it, whether it's for your allergies or asthma or anything else.
Okay. Billy Chung, pharmacist with PharmaSave. Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
You too, Libby. Take care.
Okay, take care.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.